The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Welcome to the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Streaming at 680thefan.com. You can click and watch. Got that Fan mobile app. You can listen there, maybe on the smart speaker, brought to you by South Point Financial Services. Buck Belue Show sponsored by Wellstar Health System. 10 o'clock hour on The Fan. It's brought to you by the Haug Law Group. Buck and Ernie ready to roll this morning. So we get you started this week. Got a big week lined up. As we continue to live our life through this NLCS. Boy, the first two games, a lot of drama, Ernie. A lot of drama going on out there.
Buck, I'm going to be like Ron Washington this morning. I'm just waving everybody home. Very aggressive this morning.
Yeah, I bet Wash's right arm's a little sore this morning, waving those guys in. Man, a lot of drama, man. Sitting on every pitch. Not so much with the Dogs, though. The Bulldogs handle Kentucky pretty easily over the weekend. Not a lot of drama there. There is at the quarterback spot, though. So we head into that bye week, which will lead us right into the game in Jacksonville. So we got a lot planned. Glad you're hanging out with us. Remember now, if you missed the show from 10 to 11, Monday through Friday, no worries. No problema. You can just check out the Buck Belue Show podcast later in the day. All right, Ernie, let's get this week started.
Buck's Big Take.
All right, the scene is set. The big reveal comes in Jayville. We won't know who the real Georgia quarterback is until the Bulldogs offense takes the field against the Gators down in Jacksonville in 2 weeks. At that point, we'll all know. JT Daniels' lat injury, man, I'm thinking that thing should be healed up by then, right? It was a 2 to 3 week injury, so that would be, what, 4 or 5 weeks leading into the Gator game? Should be healed up and ready to go by then. Stetson Bennett has taken charge of this offense while JT Daniels has been out injured. And Stetson, the mailman, he's played really well here the last 3 games. Been pretty impressive. So what will Coach Kirby Smart do? Does he stick with the mailman? Will he plug and play JT Daniels, who was the starter prior to the injuries? Or does he play both? Play two guys. The educated guess here says that Kirby will stick with Bennett. Me? Well, I'd go JT Daniels. Why? Because JT unlocks the passing game and makes Georgia a more dangerous offense. But stay tuned. This decision is going to be epic. And we won't know, Nerney, until Georgia takes the field down in Jacksonville, who the quarterback's going to be.
Buck, I got to be honest. I'm surprised to hear you say that. I thought we were going to come in this morning and you were going to be a little bit more on the Stetson Bennett mailman train. After the pretty balls he was throwing into the end zone on Saturday, I thought for sure you, of all people, would come in and say, listen, man, last week we heard Stinch insinuated. David Pollack called and said he's riding with the mailman. I thought maybe on this Monday you'd be riding with the mailman too.
Well, look, I did compliment Stetson. I said he'd taken charge. He had played well in these last 3 games. So I'm not hating on the mailman. I believe in the mailman. I appreciate what he's done. Belue wants another national championship. That's what I'm looking to do. And I'm just concerned with Stetson, and you saw a little bit of this early in the game against Kentucky, missing some open receivers, throwing the ball from the pocket. And I think that's where JT Daniels really thrives. So, man, I can't wait to see what's going to happen in a couple of weekends when Kirby sends that offense on the field. We're all going to look to see who the quarterback's going to be.
I'll say this. You talk about quarterbacks. I'm going to talk about tight ends for a second because I think Brock Bowers is already a top 10 NFL draft pick.
Hey, and how big, big Darnell Washington showing up a little bit too now? Yeah, the team looks good. I mean, defensively, they're rocking and rolling over there, hunkering down, as they say. Offensively, the run game's gotten cranked up, a little slow to get started on Saturday. I'll tell you what, we'll talk more about that during the Bulldog Roundtable coming up at 35 after the hour. Right now, though, let's chop this thing up.
It's time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
Pitch on the way. Swinging a fly ball, deep left field. Sprinting back there is Betts at the wall. Over his head. Off the base of the wall. Ozzie around third base. They hit the cutoff man. Here's the throw to the plate. Ozzie is safe. And a tie game. Austin Riley is amazing. And another huge moment for the Braves' third baseman. Four apiece here in the bottom of the eighth, and the go-ahead runs at second base.
I think it's one of those things where, you know, it's just, it's in the back of your mind. They're a really good ball club. They're never out of it until, you know, the last say. So, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where we got to go there, you know, play our ball game, you know, that we're capable of playing and, you know, see how things go. Like I said, I like where we're at right now. So it should be a good matchup.
Yeah, Austin Riley stepping up big, man. If he's not the most valuable player or if he doesn't get a multitude of votes, I guess people aren't paying attention because he continues to deliver here in the postseason. Just in this series alone, first two games here in Atlanta, 3-for-7 with a couple of big RBIs, the big home run. Austin Riley flat getting the job done. And that was awesome, man. I thought the big hit of the game, though, was Jocktober. How about Jock Peterson? So we're down 2-0, bottom of the fourth inning. And here comes Jock to the plate. Hits a bomb off Scherzer. That thing's still traveling over at Truist Park. I don't believe it's come down yet. Tied that game at 2, and then we're able to hold on and get a victory. I tell you, another thing I really like is watching Ozzie Albies run the bases. He runs just a little bit faster when he tips that helmet off, gets that helmet off of him, and you know what? He's expecting to see Wash over there at third base waving him on.
Oh, that's huge. We love that, the aggressiveness, because that's how you're going to go for the scoring runs. If you playing scared, you're never going to push the guys to score the important runs for the team.
That's right. Just send them home. And I've always loved the aggressive base running because you're putting pressure on the defense to make a perfect throw. And how many perfect throws do you see? Not very many of them. Not very many. Pressure on the defense. And I don't see a lot of outfielders for the Dodgers that are really showing off the big arm, if you know what I mean. So all for that. Jock Peterson, man, Anthopoulos better think long and hard about re-signing him, getting him back into the fold moving forward, because suddenly Jock Peterson is one of the fan favorites. Here's Jock after the game talking about the Braves being a special team.
I think they've always been a really strong team, and I think that when we're all pulling on the same string, special things happen, and you can see that we're doing that right now. There's no one person that has the pressure on their shoulders that they have to get the job done. It's a new person every day, and that's what makes it special.
Yeah, you're what's making it special too, Jock. With those pearls, man, did you see all those fans? Truist Park last night with the pearl necklace on. Nerney, we might want to get some of these mass-produced quickly and start selling these here at the Battery Atlanta.
Yeah, no, we definitely need to do that. And I'm also wondering if Anthony Rizzo is ever going to get that baseball bat back from Jock Peterson.
No, man. That's number two. He won't need it till March, he was saying. Hey, the Braves are leaving Truist Park today, I believe 11:30. So we want to invite you to come on down to the Battery Atlanta if you're living nearby, if you got some noontime freedom that allow you to do that. Come on down and send this team off to Los Angeles. They'll be walking out of Truist Park, getting on these buses, heading to the airport at 11:30 this morning. Come on out and send them off right.
All right, go Braves.
Braves up 2-0. Going to L.A. for games 3, 4, and 5. Tell you, that was always special to me during our championship run at Georgia. Bulldog Nation would show up big when we would leave and go to the airport. Or when we were coming back from a road game and we'd get back to the airport and the fans would be loading up there in the parking lot, man, cheering us on. It meant so much. I'm sure the Braves would appreciate it, too. Come on out. 11:30, the Braves taking off for Los Angeles. Up 2 games to none, man. Don't you just love it? I know I do. And there's the Ballou Show chopping it up for you. Man, we could go an entire hour on that game last night. That was sure fun winning that one. All right, got some big stories out there in college football. We're going to hit them during the hour today. Coming back on the other side, I've got a LSU insider that's going to tell us where it all went wrong with Coach O.
Hold that tag up.
Plus, the Volunteer fans have been reprimanded by the SEC. We'll hit on some of that. And I've got my college football top five. All that's coming up. Stick around. It's the Buck Ballou Show here on The Fan. 680 and 93.7.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballou here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
I think just the momentum that we've built, you know, like I said, we were up on them 2-0 last year. So it's like one of those things where you can't stop now. You got to continue to apply the pressure and come out every day and you know, get after it. You know, I'm looking forward to the series or the, you know, the next 3 games.
Braves' Austin Riley. Man, he's played well this season. Trying to tell you folks earlier, prior to the year, don't be worrying about Austin Riley. He's a 30 home run guy. Can pick it at third base. He's going to be around for a while. Might end up being the most valuable player. We'll see about that. Glad you're hanging out here on the Buck Ballou Show on The Fan. Got a big news story, a couple of them in the SEC. What do you say we bring on our LSU insider, Mike Dettillier, joins us, a talk show host from WWL 870 AM down in New Orleans. Plugged in with the LSU Tigers. Mike joins us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Mike, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Buck. Appreciate it.
So where did the downfall with Coach O, where did that all start, Mike?
Buck, it's funny. You know, I've been asked that so many times, and this probably occurred 3 or 4 days after the national championship. I meet with Coach O and we talk, and I told him, you know, the biggest obstacle you got is having to overcome success. And he gives me a strange look, and I'm just telling you, I've been in this business long enough. I've been in a lot of other private businesses that, you get a little bit of success in life. People don't like to hear it, but they can't handle it. Really can't. And it changes your work ethic, your attention to detail, your focus. The people around you change. You don't make good decisions. And we had a long conversation about it because, you know, he's been part of that. He was at Miami when they were winning national championships. He was with Pete Carroll at USC. And you don't think it's going to happen to you, and it did. And I think that's where they didn't handle the 2019 success very well. And the other part is about developing talent. Having people around you from a coaching staff standpoint that could really develop good talent. You look throughout the years, he's lost Pete Jenkins, who is the dean of defensive line coaches, Steve Ensminger, who was the offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, who coached Joe Burrow. Dennis Johnson, and we all call him Meatball, defensive line coach. He took over for Pete. He's the defensive line coach at Baylor. Dave Aranda, defensive coordinator, head coach at Baylor. Joe Brady, who's now the offensive coordinator with the Carolina Panthers. He never replaced those guys adequately. And the talent is here. It was his inability to fully develop it. Now, you got a couple of them. You know, they got people down here that they think, you know, they got the Social Security number for the two guys in the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Tell you that, well, it's talent. Well, explain to me how you, the last 3 years, you were fifth, fourth, and third in national recruiting, and you don't have talent. So it's not about getting it. It's about developing it. And I did a lot of junkets when Nick Saban was here as the head coach. And, man, it got to the point, Buck, I could have said the speeches as well as Nick because he said the same speech no matter where he went.
Yeah.
I mean, he never changed much of it. And one of his things was the key to winning was R&D, recruit and develop talent. And Ed could recruit. He did a great job recruiting. But I think the loss of those type coaches, you didn't see the development of talent. So I think the inability to handle success and then the second part being the development of talent was obvious. And bottom line is this. It's an old line from a Rocky movie, but it's true. They traded their passion for glory and fame. 2019, it was hard to get to the top and win it. They forgot how hard it was, and they thought it would be easy again. And they never could capture that lightning in a bottle again.
Yeah, the turnover with the coaching staff really stands out to me, Mike. Joe Brady in there, then he's gone. Ensminger leaving. The defensive coordinator, Bo Pelini, that was a terrible hire. So I look at it from the outside looking in as that was one of the main issues right there. And then what about these embarrassing issues that were going on off the field? Coach O going through a divorce, obviously dating. A lot of that went public on social media. You got the Title IX issue going around the athletic department. This was looks like a bad work environment there in Baton Rouge.
You were caught in the vortex of the tornado, and you helped the tornado swirl itself. So, you know, again, you know, the personal stuff. Listen, I've been around this game a long time. I've seen coaches win and win big, and their personal lives are a complete mess. But they knew how to compartmentalize things very well. And, Buck, you've been around it with players and coaches that you say, man, how can they perform at that level, and yet their personal life is a complete mess? But you saw it with Ed, and the timing was certainly the same. And I knew that was going to happen even before the national championship game and series kind of started, that this wasn't going to last long between him and Kelly. And then, you know, it came apart on him. He didn't handle that either very well. So it's all part of it, handling that tremendous amount of success, and then what happens afterwards. And now you got FBI and NCAA investigators all over the LSU campus because of the Will Wade situation in basketball. you know? But right. People sort of put that in the backdrop, but that's what brought them there to begin with, was because of Wade. And so, listen, if Ed's going to get his neck on the guillotine, we all know who's next. Got a new president in town. And William Taylor, you know, he wants to leave his legacy here at LSU. He wants to make a statement. So if Ed's gone, man, if I'm Will Wade, I'm renting. I'm not buying.
I would imagine, you know, the separation agreement was all about getting it at the front of the line, looking for the replacement for Coach O. And I've already scratched some names off the list. Come on, Jimbo Fisher's not coming to LSU with all this going
no.
on. Neither is James Franklin. Mario Cristobal's not coming. I mean, isn't the A-list really Aranda and Napier? Or do they look down at Napier as being the little brother?
I think the number one guy on that list is Mel Tucker at Michigan State.
Oh, wow.
I'm convinced of that. I've talked to enough people that have a vested interest in LSU. And they have let me know that Tucker's on top of that list. He's a guy who was a former assistant coach at LSU under Nick. Went to Ohio State, went to the NFL, has been a head coach at Colorado, head coach at Michigan State, has a really good team this season for the Spartans. But, listen, I'll never forget, Buck, we doing all these talking circuits with Nick, and one thing he would bring up to everybody, one of the big reasons he came to LSU was, one, he said, if I stayed at Michigan State, I was always going to be the number two school there. No matter what, Michigan is still the school in Michigan. And he said, you baby brother in Michigan if you're at Michigan State. And secondly, he said, I did a lot of research on the talent coming out of the state of Louisiana. And while those numbers have changed, 4 out of the last 5 years per capita, Louisiana has produced – They've been in the top 3 spots 4 to 5 last year. Only 1 year last year, they were not in that top 3. This year, they're number 1 per capita in producing NFL players. There's a reason why my cell phone, I probably get calls from about 15 college head coaches weekly that are up and down the streets of Louisiana looking for talent. And so I think that's why you got a young, talented coach in Mel Tucker who understands this part of the area pretty well, understands he will never overtake Michigan as the top school in Michigan. I mean, you might beat them, but you're not going to be the number one school. And you look at the talent level produced in Louisiana, I think it's very favorable. So I think Mel Tucker is clear-cut the guy that many people in that athletic department want to be their next head coach.
Mike, how's LSU going to remember Coach O?
2019, the greatest college football season ever. When you look at it from start to finish, you can, you know, maybe debate on a couple of other teams that were in that number, but man, you look how they rolled through everything. And an SEC schedule, how they handled things, SEC title game, getting, you know, and winning the national championship. He'll always be remembered for that 2019 season and how it all came together, coaching, players. And life ain't being too sweet since Joe Burrow left to go to the NFL.
No doubt about it.
Joe was such a big part of it. And we've seen this story before, right? What happened to Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M after Johnny Manziel left? It didn't take long for that to unravel. What happened to Gene Chizik at Auburn when Cam Newton left? Males don't like to admit this, but there are guys that are a cut above. And Joe was that guy here. He was a cut above. And so, you know, life hasn't been real sweet for LSU football post Joe Burrow.
Mike, I'm going to miss Coach O. And sure,
man, I'm going to miss him too. Well, I'm going to see him way too much because his mom lives about 10 minutes from me. I see him all the time. We've known each other But, man, it's almost 50 years. We knew each other as kids. We didn't go to the same high school because he lived south of the Intercoastal Canal, and I lived north of it. So I went to Central, and he went to South. So, you know, we've known each other, I can say 50 years. It's been that much. And I've seen him go through a lot of good and bad and seen a lot of personal things happen here and there. But you won't miss him for long because I do believe that he will be on a television screen somewhere in your future in 2022. He won't coach next year, but I think he will do television. And in 2023, come back and coach.
All right, we'll be looking for it. Mel Tucker, man, that former Georgia defensive coordinator there at Michigan State, the leading candidate reportedly down there. That's good stuff. Mike, we appreciate you chiming in, giving us some insight into what's going on at LSU.
Thank you, Buck. Appreciate it, Bub. I'll tell Hebert I'll talk to you.
Hey, thanks so much. Mike Dettillier, man, he's all over the LSU scene and also Saints insider, NFL draft insider. We love Mike Dettillier here on the Buck Belue Show.
Go Tigers!
Go Tigers! Let's get to the college football nugget.
Tasty. Time for the college football nugget. Presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
All right, the Tennessee Volunteer fans, they've been reprimanded by the SEC commissioner for pelting the field with water bottles, beer cans, condiments, debris in the final minute of that 31-26 loss to Ole Miss on Saturday. It halted the game for 20 minutes. Lane Kiffin's first game back since he left Tennessee as their head coach got hit with a golf ball, a range, one of those hard range balls from the golf course. Who brings that to a football game? I just have to wonder about that. Let's hear from Lane Kiffin. This is what he was saying post-game.
Relief. I don't know if I'm more excited that we found a way to win or I didn't get hit with the golf balls they were throwing at me.
Ole Miss left town with a 31-26 win, and the Tennessee fans are being painted as classless and toxic. And they're calling Kiffin a clown. The way they look at Lane Kiffin. Josh Heupel, man, he's got a lot to handle there in Knoxville. Just add this to the list. Game delayed 20 minutes. Nerney, you ever thought about throwing something onto the field when you go to one of these college games?
No. I'm on the taller side, so I kind of stick out like a sore thumb. Easier to identify.
Kiffin said, look, they're passionate fans here in Knoxville. Yeah. Put your helmets on, guys. Don't be standing on the sideline without a helmet on. That's what Lane Kiffin was saying. Really entertaining game, too. It's a shame that, well, we're not talking about the game. We're talking about what happened with the Tennessee fans. Greg Sankey's on you, guys. You better straighten up. Better straighten up in Knoxville. And there's our college football nugget today. I can't say I've ever thought about throwing something on the field. You know, the Braves game, that infield fly that during the postseason a couple of years back, man, I'd thought about, you know, maybe throwing a Coke bottle I had in my hand that night, but I didn't do it. But that was really the only time I even considered throwing something onto the field.
Yeah, that was weird. I was working back in studio, working that broadcast. That was a strange night.
Took him a while to get that cleaned up.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, you just wonder how a range ball makes its way into the Grand Ole Stadium there, Neyland Stadium.
Well, I mean, how, you know, where does the golf team practice? How far is the range from the stadium? I mean, somebody could have just, you know, raced and shamboed it.
Premeditated, man. I think they expected to throw that thing at Kiffin, win or lose.
Now, the video was great, though, because he was standing right next to one of the officials when the ball landed right next to him. He just kind of picked it up and showed it to the official.
Yeah, it didn't even sting. He didn't even flinch, really. He just reached down, picked it up, put it in his pocket. Let's get to that Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, first down, like 15, 10, 5. Get in there, touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Online at gapackandload.com. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Well, the Bulldogs woke up this morning a unanimous number one in college football. Look at the AP poll. Georgia with every one of the 63 first-place votes. Look at the coaches poll. Georgia with all 65 first-place votes. Unanimous number one this week. And it didn't start real smooth against Kentucky. Not that the game was ever in doubt. Stetson came out early in the game and saw a Kentucky defense that was aggressively getting after the Georgia run game with 6 to 8 guys close to the box and attacking the run game early in the game. Stetson missed a couple of receivers early in the first quarter from the pocket. And so it was a little bit of a slow start offensively. The run game got going, though, as they started to grind down this Kentucky defense. And then Stetson settled in, throwing the football, and was able to go out and put on a pretty good show there. Run game, though, with 7 to 8 in the box, that's what concerns me with Stetson and their quarterback, is when these teams down the road are going to stack the box against Georgia, they're going to need to be able to throw the ball effectively, especially early in the game. And I see Stetson as a guy that is more effective outside the pocket than inside the pocket. At 5'8" or 5'9", I really believe he has trouble seeing the middle of the field in the in-pocket passes. So I'd like to see Monken do more of that outside stretch zone play where you got Stetson bootlegging off of that, moving around, able to see better vision out on the field. The other issue, too, is the Georgia wide receiver core has really been depleted with what they've got going on as far as the receivers go. My goodness, I was doing adding this all up here over the weekend, and the Bulldogs' top four receivers, here we go, the last three games, Kentucky, Auburn, and Arkansas, Georgia's top four receivers in those last three games have 4 catches for 20 yards. So it's not just the quarterback thing that is a little up in the air right now. The wide receiver core, they've got to get healthy. They've got to get Jermaine Burton back in there laying down, picking them up and laying them down. They need Kyaris Jackson back at the slot, making plays in the middle of the field there. Rosemary Zad, Jack Saint, got to get him healthy. Where's Arian Smith? Those are the top four guys coming into the year, and they've got very little out of them.
Buck, when do we start considering Bowers a receiver, though? I mean, when you got Darnell Washington on the field at the same time as him, I mean, Darnell's lining up as tight end, and Brock in the slot. I mean, you might as well list him as a wide receiver.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Now, I look at him as a big receiver. I don't look at him as a tight end. He's not lining up next to the offensive tackle in line and trying to knock people off the ball. He's in motion. He's more of an H-back, big receiver, and he's been phenomenal. There's no doubt about it. I'll tell you what's been impressive is you got Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator, who is manipulating the quarterback thing and also handling the wide receivers being depleted. Let's hear from Kirby talking about what a good job Monken's done.
Well, I mean, he's done an incredible job when you think about the guys he's had in. I mean, he's taken tight ends, made them multiple. He's taken backs. He's taken wide outs, you know, that weren't necessarily early season starters and done a really good job. I mean, you think about it, he's called the game with what you call it to play players, right? Not plays, but players. And when you dial up 19 and 84 and 4 and 3 and those guys continue to make plays 5, I mean, he does a good job of keeping defenses off balance.
Georgia, once they settled in offensively, were getting explosive plays both in the run game and got some in the passing game, too, as the game went along. Here's Kirby talking about wanting to be explosive.
We want to be an explosive football team, a dangerous football team. We feel like, you know, at full strength with our wideouts, we can be really explosive. You know, we thought at the end of the year that was going to be one of the strengths of our team, and it's been an injured portion of our team. But we have quarterbacks to get them the ball. We have offensive line to protect. We have good backs. We just have to keep building and getting better and play cleaner football.
All right, this week Georgia will be off as their bye week gives them 2 weeks to rest up and heal, refocus on the Gators down in Jacksonville. And I believe, as I said earlier in the show, this is the big reveal for the quarterback situation at Georgia. What happens when the offense takes the field in 2 weeks down in Jacksonville against Florida? Here's Kirby talking about evaluating the quarterback situation.
We evaluate that position like we do every single position. We go to practice. We do third down period. We do 2 minute. We ask questions in meetings. We do everything just like a normal position. So we evaluate that position just like we do corner, left tackle, everything. Now, it is different in the management of it. I get it in terms of reps and things, but we evaluate the same way. I mean, I'm proud of the way Stetson played, and I'm hopeful that JT gets healthy as soon as possible.
Defense continues to kick butt. Just phenomenal the way they've played. Quay Walker has really jumped off at me the last couple of games, the linebacker. 9 tackles, led the team with 9 tackles in the game against Kentucky. Jalen Carter, Nerney, is just a beast. We're talking a lot about Jordan Davis. Not enough about Jalen Carter, the sophomore defensive lineman. 6 tackles in the game, 2.5 tackles for losses. I mean, this guy is just a beast out there, Jalen Carter. Looking forward to seeing more out of him. Adam Anderson with 6 tackles and 0.5 sacks. Kentucky not getting a lot done, a lot of short underneath stuff in the passing game. They average 1.9 yards per carry. Ringo and Kendrick playing well at the cornerback spot. This defense, man, I don't know what offense out there is going to be able to do damage against that defense.
You got to mention N'Kobe Dean, too. At one point, that dude snuffed out a little running back screen, backside screen, and he fought through with 3 offensive linemen to make a play in the backfield. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, he is amazing. What'd you make of Stoops calling a timeout at the end of the game to try to put another touchdown on the board?
Well, you know, to me, it didn't mean as much because I didn't have anything writing on the game, but you could tell on Twitter there were some people
trying to cover the spread.
Yeah, monetarily invested in this one that weren't so pleased with it.
Yeah, and look, I understand what the deal is, right? And I would think that a lot of these coaches know what the line is, and they want their alumni, their fan base to be happy, right? So at least he was able to provide them with a cover on the game for those that are gambling.
Maybe he got a text message while he was on the sideline. Hey, if you're not going to get us the win, at least, you know, get us the over.
They left losers, though, a little humbled after coming in undefeated. Georgia getting the job done again, week off, and we'll start to get ready for the Florida Gator showdown down in Jacksonville. All right, coming up next, I've got my college football top five. I'm going to drop that. A little bit of a takeover and then the final word. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Jansen ready to deal. Offering to Rosario. Line drive. That is through. It gets through. Here comes Dansby.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Lightning strikes twice, and the Braves walk it off. This is unbelievable. And the Braves win it, and they go up 2-0 in the series. Listen to this place.
How sweet it is, baby. Up 2-0 on the Dodgers as the Braves load up and travel to L.A. this morning. Team's going to be leaving Truist Park at 11:30. If you're nearby in this Marietta area, I want to invite you to come on out. Send this team off as they get on the charter buses to the airport. Give them a nice little send-off. How about Ingram getting all these walk-off calls? Man, he is building that resume. Looking good, Ben Ingram. All these one-run games this season, too. It has not gone smoothly most of the year. The Braves right now, my research staff telling me the Braves are 26-31 in one-run games this season. 26-31. But 2-0 in the NLCS. You got to love that. All right, I thought the best information we've gotten out of the show today is when I brought in Mike Dettillier from WWL 870 AM down in New Orleans. And Dettillier saying that the leading candidate to replace Coach O at LSU is former Georgia defensive coordinator Mel Tucker, who's now at Michigan State, who was a member of Saban's staff at LSU years ago before Saban showed up at Alabama. This Mel Tucker's an impressive guy. And you look at all these candidates, Dave Aranda, who coached at LSU, defensive coordinator. He's at Baylor right now, and he's on the list of coaches that people are regarding as candidates. Billy Napier there with the Louisiana Raging Cajuns, recruiting Louisiana already for that program. He's an ex-Alabama assistant. I thought those two guys would be at the top of the list, but apparently, according to Dettillier, it's Mel Tucker that's number one on this LSU list. Very interesting stuff. And always great to have Dettillier on, who's totally into the Saints coverage and also the NFL draft, publisher and editor of the NFL Draft Report. Dettillier does a really great job down in New Orleans. Mel Tucker, wow. I did not expect that. I did expect, though, to give you my college football top five this morning.
The best in college football and the NFL.
Five, four, three, two, one.
It's time for Buck Ballew's top five.
All right, checking in at number five. It looked lazy. Ohio State taking the weekend off. I mean, middle of the season, and you got these teams taking weekends off. Thought about replacing the Buckeyes for being so lazy. Then I thought, wow, I'd be setting a dangerous precedent, right? So next week I'd have to drop George out of that number one spot, so I don't want to do that. Considered Michigan State at 7-0 under Mel Tucker, but I'm going Ohio State staying at number five. Remaining at number four, the Oklahoma Sooners. They have found a new quarterback in his freshman, Caleb Williams. 18-23, 300 yards, four touchdowns. Ran it nine times for 70 yards and a touchdown. Sooners have got him a quarterback they're believing in. Whatever happened to that Spencer Rattler? Cincinnati 3, they destroyed UCF. Alabama, in my book, Alabama stays number two. They clobbered, beat up Mississippi State 49-9. Come on, man. Alabama's number two. Be real. Georgia Bulldogs dominating Kentucky, and the Bulldogs stay number one. All right, the final word. Every game is huge in this NLCS. Our Braves fly off to Los Angeles coming up in a few moments. This morning, we've got a 2-0 series lead. But it's not a convincing 2-0 lead, if you know what I'm talking about. We've won 2 one-run games in our last at bat. And I tell you what, it seems like we're living on the edge right now. Gave up 10 free passes in game two. Our star Freddie Freeman struck out 7 times in a row in games one and two. We've lost 10 of our last 11 games in L.A. at Dodger Stadium. This series is far from over. Expect L.A. to fight back in games 3, 4, and 5. No time to relax, Braves fans. And we need a big game from Charlie Morton to deliver in game 3 tomorrow. Game 4 is iffy for us with a starter opener situation. We need one win in L.A. so we can come back home needing one win to close these guys out. The series is still in play, even though we're up to 2-0 heading to Game 3. It's going to do it for the Buck Belue Show. Nick and Chris coming up next. Have a great rest of your Monday, everybody.
Great to see you, Buck.
Hang tough, coach.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.